Oh, we thank you for your presence, Jehovah Gibor Milkamah. You are our mighty God of war, mighty in battle, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Lord, come and do what only you can do. We rest in your grace. We rest in your mercies. We recognize, O God, that without you we can do nothing. Without you we are nothing. And Lord, O God, we thank you, Lord, O God, that you are the God who causes us to come out of darkness. You command the light to come out of darkness. Lord, O God, let the word of your command go forth today. And let every son and every daughter that has been hidden in darkness come forth. Even as you said, O God, to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. So, Lord, O God, let it be tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the dead hear your voice. Let the captives hear your voice. Let, O God, the captors hear your voice and let go of that which they have held for so long. In Jesus' name, let the chains of captivity be shattered in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the prison doors break wide open in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the iron gates open wide. Let your people come forth in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. You are worthy, O God, of all glory, all praise, worship, and adoration forever. Thank you, Lord. You are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you this wonderful evening in the house of the Lord. You know, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And I'm glad that you are here. The word of God says, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And the word of God says that God is a spirit, and where the spirit of God is, there is liberty. So I'm certain of this, that liberty is here. The word of God says, whatsoever has been born of God overcomes the world. So I'm certain also that there are overcomers in this house tonight. Let us celebrate the goodness of God together. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Father, fight for me. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is good. In Psalm 24 and verse 28, Psalm 24 and verse 8, Psalm 24 and verse 8. The word of the Lord says, as the Lord is questioned, as the forces questioned, who is this that is about to change the status quo? We've been in charge here, and we're hearing noises. Who is this? Who is this King of glory? Abba, Father. He says, you're asking, who am I? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Jehovah Gibor Milkamah. I'm the one. Do you have any other questions? Because today, every gate of limitation shall move out of the way. Amen? Hallelujah. When we ended the month, last month, it was on a Sunday, and God was declaring war on the devil's war. And we've come to the first day of the November, of the month called November, and God is taking the fight to the enemy. And not one enemy shall be left. Because the word of God says, when we come out of this one, we are not going to haste. We're not going to rush. Why? Because it says the Lord is going to be before you. And he's going to be behind you. He's going to make certain that every single detail is taken care of. And after you have gone through, he'll still make sure that nothing was left undone. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, many years ago, I was in California. And I was attending school there, and somebody had gifted me with a car. It was a rundown, beat down car, but it moved anyway. And I had to have my driver's license. And I went for a driver's license, and they said, put your face in this unit and tell me what you see. I said, I don't see anything yet. I don't see anything yet. I don't see anything yet. And they kept on going and going, and I wasn't seeing nothing. He said, get up. I said, when are you going to show me? He said, we've been showing you things, and you've not been seeing them. You need glasses. I need glasses. I thought I saw very well. So I went. I got my prescriptions, came back, the prescription was filled, and they put the glasses on my face. Oh, it will look different. Ah, that's how that's supposed to look. I saw differently. Huh. Should I be wearing these glasses? But the interesting thing about it, listen to this, this is very important. 3 sisters had put their money together to purchase me those glasses. Okay, I can see with these glasses, but I don't want to wear glasses. So I prayed. I talked to the Lord about these glasses. I God, heal me, heal me. So I went back, because you needed to come back to get your license. I needed to come back with these glasses to take the examination again. So I came back and I took the glasses off, and I saw everything they were showing me. God had healed me like that. I was healed. I could see like I could see with my glasses, without the glasses. I stepped out. This time, they didn't mark that I needed glasses. I stepped out, and a devilish thought came to my mind. So what devilish thought was that? I thought, oh my, I wasted the money of these sisters. I wasted their money. How am I going to go now and tell them that I don't need the glasses? So I put the glasses back on. Guess what happened? I lost my healing. I lost my healing because I was trying to be nice. It was gone. Then the tragedy of it all was I started liking the glasses. I liked the glasses so much that I couldn't recognize me without my glasses on. And now it is almost impossible for me to get healed because I can't recognize me without my glasses. I've been putting on glasses on since 1979. And I'm stuck with it. Because for me to get my healing, I have to unlike. I have to unlike wearing glasses. Pray for me. It's not a big deal. Guess who used to wear glasses? Pastor Maria. She used to wear very thick glasses when I met her. And I used to tease her every time I saw her, look at you. You're supposed to have faith. You're having Coke glasses on. Look at you. And she decided, okay, you're not going to be mocking me now and then, again and again, about glasses. Guess who got healed? She got healed. And she stayed healed. But I compromised and got the bad look out of it. Say, Pastor, what is the message about? Victory stays with you as long as you want it to stay with you. And do not compromise that fact. You compromise it, you got what you've got. When the Lord heals you from a pain, and all of a sudden the pain shows up in the other leg or wherever else it showed up, and says, oops, ow, I guess I didn't get healed. Guess what happens? You get unhealed. You only keep what you decide is yours. And my prayer tonight is that every one of us will make a decision that the devil's agenda will not rest in your portion ever again. Amen? The lot of the ungodly shall not rest on my. Because the God I serve wants only the best for me. One of the lies of the enemy is this, based in the natural realm. In this natural realm, we build muscle by resistance. When you lift weights, the muscles tear, the heel, you tear them again, the heel, you tear them, the heel, as you rest it. And that's how you build your muscles. In this natural realm, positive and negative work together for you to have light, electricity. And so, based on natural logistics, we have this mindset that evil has to be present for good to continue, or for us to have a benefit of any kind. So we know that if there's no battles, there are no victories. But in the dimension and the sphere of God, victory is not a result of the presence of evil vanquished. Victory is a constant. Just like love is a constant, it is, whether there is something contrary to it or not, it is a constant. Heaven is not heaven because there is no evil there. Heaven is heaven because God is there. Freedom is freedom because God is there. Victory is victory because God is there. Good is good because good is good. Do you understand? So, having that understanding, we must come to an awareness of this fact that I don't need evil to know that God is good. I don't need healing to know that God is a healer. That can be part of my story once upon a time. But in heaven, God is still a healer, not because we are sick and we got healed, but because health is in him and flows through him. Praise the Lord. Do you understand? So we don't need evil for good to be real. Good has to be real all by itself. It stands on its own. Praise the Lord. Freedom stands on its own. Everything that is good stands on its own. It doesn't need a negative force to make it real. Do you have that settled? Then, I must not expect evil at any time of my life when God says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. The psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness of God is upon my life. Amen? The peace of God is upon my life. Now, that peace functions on its own, whether there is restlessness or anything else. It stands on its own. I want that to be settled in our spirits tonight before we go any further. That everything that is good stands on its own legs. It exists. It abides. And it doesn't need any confrontation for it to be real. It's good all by itself. So, I don't need to be waking up thinking that something bad is going to happen so that I can have a testimony. Let me put it this way. Are you less saved if you have never lived like the people of the world? You were never a druggist or somebody that was involved in a gang, somebody that was immoral. You never lied and God saved you. You were born into a Christian home and all you knew all of your life was a Christian faith. Are you less saved than somebody that was all messed up and got saved? You have a testimony just as powerful as the one that failed all his life and got saved. The fact that God saved you and you stayed saved and you never walked in unrighteousness is just a stronger testimony as the other. Praise the Lord. You don't have to be broke to appreciate wealth. Hello? Do we have that settled? Because that's one of the lies that the enemy uses to keep us in a state of defeat. Oh, if it is too good to be true, it must be too good to be true. No, God is too good to be true, and He is still true. Amen? So let's not buy into that lie. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, tonight, I want you to come with me to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, beginning to read from verse 1. This is the declaration of the man of God. It says, "Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered." Let God arise, and let all his enemies be what? Scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. Let the enemy be scattered. Let him run. Hallelujah. Someone said, "Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered." They cannot bind themselves together and be in agreement. I want you to rise with me for a moment. Now, there are no demons under every tree. Our focus is about the battle of the Lord against the enemy. Say with me, "Father, arise and fight for me, and let every enemy, wherever they are, whatever they are, be removed, be scattered away from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, be scattered, be scattered, be scattered, be scattered, be scattered, in the mighty name of Jesus." Amen. Let them flee. Hallelujah. That hate you. Be seated. You see, the heartbeat of God is to bestow the wealth of his riches upon his people, his glory. We all sinned, we fell short of the glory of God. That's all that God is, all of his wonderfulness. His amazingness. I'm using interesting words there, but I wanted to burrow deep within your spirit. The awesomeness of God. He's so amazing, so wonderful, beyond description. That's his glory. And we fell short of that awesomeness of God that God also had bestowed upon us. Here, part of the image of God, God creating you in his image and in his likeness, is that God created you to be awesome, to be amazing like him. Every part of you is wonderfully made. He created you to be a wonderment. You know, such that the angels wonder, what is it about us? Because God has inbuilt that into you. But we fell short of that. And we became corrupted. And we became defeated and failures. This morning, when I left here early in the morning, I went to the bank to make sure I secured my offering for the service. And I went to my bank, and in the cubicle there where I'm supposed to go, there was a young man. He was in there, and he was off his mind. He had a lighter and he's trying to put on his shoes, sitting there by the ATM. And he's lighting his shoes. And I thought, that is somebody's son. That young man was born on a particular day in some hospital somewhere or some house or wherever it was. And he was celebrated, I hope. But somehow, he's not where he should be. That is our story. As all dressed up as we might be on the outside, the lives of so many people is a total mess. And we need God to do something for people that have been so beaten down by life, by demonic activities, by wrong decisions that they've made in their lives that has brought them so low. Because if there are people that were doing well and all of a sudden their whole life fell apart because of one mistake or because of something that somebody did or because of bitterness or whatever. So there are many forces that have generated this enmity to make certain that that which God has for us is not realized. God wants every one of us blessed. And everything that robs us of the blessing of God is an enemy. Not just to us, an enemy to God. Because God wants His glory to be manifested. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God wants me to show forth His glory. Especially since I became a believer. He wants me to represent Him. And ambassadors who do not represent their countries very well get recalled. I don't want to be recalled. How is it that we do not represent our God well? By the way we carry ourselves, by the way we live our lives, by the way we represent Him. And I'm saying tonight that whatever is in my life, whatever it is that's in your life, whatever it is that's in the lives of the saints of God that does not represent God well, that God will arise and see that that thing is eradicated from the lives of His people. Amen? We must come out, hallelujah, from that limitation. You say, but Pastor, didn't that happen when we got saved? Of course it did. Your account is full, but you are not using your funds, what He has deposited for you. And this announcement is to remind us once again, we are not broke. Wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So arise and let everything that hates your glory flee from before you. Verse 2 says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Whoever and whatever. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melted before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. This is a prayer God wants you and I to pray. God, let you, Let your fire be so hot, everything that is contrary, let it melt. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But let the righteous be what? Glad. Some say, I am glad. It says, let them rejoice before God. Amen? Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. You know what exceedingly rejoice means? It means dancing like a crazy person. Amen. Like you've lost your mind. Yes, you've lost the mind of defeat and you've embraced the mind of God. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is my what? Strength. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, the other day I was watching something and I saw somebody going, what were they doing? Rejoicing. In any language, that's what it means. You see somebody going like this. You say, oh, this is rejoicing. If you see someone, what is the person doing? They're dancing. Are they not? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter which culture. Wherever you go, it is a sign. That is a sign language that we all understand. Hallelujah. We can understand that. Guess what? God wants you to understand this. That the only thing that you are born to do is to rejoice in the Lord. For all eternity, you and I will be rejoicing before the Lord. So the word of God says, He's wiped away the tears. There's no crying, no sorrow, just the joy of the Lord. Amen? Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 4 says, sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah. And rejoice before Him. The word of God says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. It even says that for the kings of the Medes and the Persians, you know, you couldn't just come there with a sad face. You show up with a sad face, your head might be off. And we think that is okay with God. The only time God should see you cry is when you are extolling Him, when you are asking Him to come do something for you because you got hurt by whatever. But you crying because, oh God, I don't have some money. Oh God. God is not impressed by that. He expects you to come recognizing that He is the God who can meet all of your needs. If you cry, it's because you know you want Him to avenge you. That's the only time you cry. God, avenge me of my adversaries. Arise, O God, and let every enemy be scattered. But if it has to do with you believing Him for something, don't come to Him crying. Because God is not going to respond to that. He responds to your praise. That when you are in, you have financial situations, you have a health situation or whatever, you come before Him. Father, I thank You that You are the God who heals, delivers, that You are all powerful, that You are my God. Oh, if You were not my God, I would have been a mess. But I thank You. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I give You praise. My healer. God says, that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Oh, God has told me I have cancer. God, oh, that's trouble. God, you're going to die, man.
Oh, God, they said I have high blood pressure.
You're going to die. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because God is not moved by those things. He's moved by your joy in Him, rejoicing. Not that you're rejoicing that you have that problem, but that you're rejoicing that you know Him who can solve that problem. And that's why you're celebrating. When you say, God, arise and let your enemies be scattered, you are declaring, God, I know that you are all able, almighty, El Gibor. You're my everything. You're my all. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying to you. You've got to identify your posture and how you present yourself before God. The reason so many believers die unnecessarily is because they have not known the power of celebrating the goodness of God in their lives, that they know the one who settles the matter. He settles it. He settles the matter. And he says, problem solved. Hallelujah. Problem solved. Yes, you've been challenged, but problem solved. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. He says, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, or Jehovah, and rejoice before Him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in His holy habitation. God is a father to the fatherless. And He is a judge of the widows in His holy habitation. I wonder where that habitation is. Let's go further. God settled the solitary in families. Think you alone? He sets you in a family. God has a family for His people. Every one of us has a family. He has a wonderful way of bringing you into family. I remember when I was in the States, God creating a family for me. When Mama and I came into this country, God created a family. I remember a dear woman of God, Mrs. Congo. I know she's resting before the Lord by now because she was possibly in her 70s or 80s at the time we got to meet her some 40-something years ago. When we came into the country, we arrived here May the 1st. And I remember on the second, we were in a hotel close to the airport, going in to take a shower, and their water, their heating system, their boiler or whatever it is, their hot water tank was busted, and what we had was cold water. And that was our first experience. But when we left here, we went to Otterburn, and they have then called Winnicott Bible College and Seminary. Now it's called Providence College and Seminary. We're staying in the guest room in the main building. We're there by ourselves, Mama and I. And this huge facility, no lights in the night. And Mama was pregnant and she needed some soda of some sort. And it's not like today where you have flashlights on your phones. There were no cell phones in those days. And I'm in a building that I don't know. The only light in the building was the exit signs. And I'm feeling my way, trying to find where I can find a soda machine, because there's got to be a soda machine somewhere. You know, this is a school. So I'm feeling my way, and I felt my way and went down to the basement and feeling my way through the dark. The things you do for love. And I found a soda machine and got what I needed to get, and I felt my way back to the room where we were. Quite a distance, actually, come to think of it. The next day, Mrs. Congo came in and said, "You, the young couple that just came to town?" I said, "Yes." "Well, as you can see, there are no students here. This is May. They've all gone on holidays. So you're going to have to be here for a while, but come over and have supper with us." And we struck a relationship. Finally found a place to stay outside of school in Niverville. And a church close by, Niverville Maranatha Full Gospel or whatever it is called. And Pastor Brown and his family took us in. God connected us. And we had family in a strange land. We've never been in Canada. We knew nothing about this place. And today, I have a bigger family. Everyone here is family. Because God sets people. He knows how to put you where you belong. And I want you to know today that no matter what the situation is, you are not alone. Amen? You may think, "I'm alone. I'm the only one going through this." And God says, "No, you're not alone. I am God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Brings people that are bound with chains. And today, by the declaration of that word, I declare that whoever it is that has been chained, that they receive their deliverance today, because we serve a God who brings people out. Hallelujah. He breaks the shackles of limitation. He destroys the workings of the enemy. And he says, "I declare you free." That's his business. That's what he does best. He sees a bad situation and he turns it around. And that God is your God. Praise the Lord. You're not alone. There might be somebody listening to me right now and the enemy's locked you up in a solitary place. And God's saying, "I'm going to make room for you. I'm going to bring you out of this mess." Do not lose faith in God. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But then he says, "But the rebellious dwell in a dry land." Who are the rebellious? Rebellious people are people that are rebelling against the freedom that God has ordained for them. A rebellious person is not just a person who just wants to go against God and do the wrong things. It's a person who is double-minded. That's a rebellious person. Someone who does not believe that God has purchased full price, paid for their deliverance. And they are still thinking, but I did this, but that they said that, but no, it's but nothing. I am going to trust God to do for me what I cannot do for myself, what my judge cannot do, what my attorney cannot do, what nobody else can do. God is a God who is going to tear every document and acid watch everything that is contrary to my well-being. Every record, he's going to blot it out and declare me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is declaring that over your life. Receive it. And know that he is faithful. The language of that freedom comes something like this. I don't know why I'm doing this, but just go. Like it happened for us many years ago when the enemy for some 2 or so years was battling us, saying to us that we cannot stay in this country when God sent us to this country. We were tormented by the immigration department. But we refused to lie. We refused to do anything that was going to be contrary. We just believed God. And finally, they told us one day, said, next week, when you come here, if you don't have funds to take care of yourself, don't even think that you're going to go home. We're going to deport you right from here. We're going to take you to the airport, and you are out of here. And on a Sunday evening, I think it was, I think the next day was going to be a Monday, were to go see the immigration officers. We're at Suite 9, 285 Dufferin. I can see Mom and I right now by the bed on our knees. When we heard the voice of the Lord, he said, tomorrow, when you go to see the officer, when you go to the immigration office, ask me to see the manager. On our knees, Lord, we ask to see the manager tomorrow when we go to the immigration office. In Jesus' name, amen. Got up. Went to bed. Next day, we went to the immigration office. At that time, I think it was on Colony. And the place was like a zoo. Cut a long story short. Here comes a man. I'd seen him earlier leave with 2 other guys. Bald guy. At that time, bald was not normal. Nowadays, every other guy is bald. You know, they shave off their hair. But at that time, it was a rarity. You really have to be bald to be bald. And the guy comes again and he mentions a name. Sounded close enough. So we responded and confirmed that it was our name that was being mentioned. And we followed him. And he walks past all the cubicles, of everyone that had been checking on us and giving us 1 week stay and 2 week stay. He goes past all of them and he goes into a room with a big desk. And he sits across and he says, sit down. And both of us sat down and we looked at that table. There it was, manager. Manager. God told us what to pray. Are you listening? So it is that God will tell you what to say and what to do. Because part of your deliverance is in actions that He wants you to take. And therefore you have to be attentive to listen to what God is saying. And doing that which God said, and then your deliverance is established. All this while will bring $1,000. I remember one time, a woman of God, I'll check and see if she's still around. Her name is Evie. This woman was listening to our television program called Message of Deliverance at that time. We're broadcasting from Vidion, the then Vidion television station, and it used to be, those details are not necessary right now. Anyway, it used to be towards the beginnings of the South End, and this woman heard our teaching. God dramatically saved and delivered, set free supernaturally, and seeks us out, finds out, and she says, I need ministry for some things, and I'd like to come. And so we give her our address, and she came to the North End and to Suite 9, 285 Dufferin, and we continue to minister to her. And one day this woman came with a bank book, Royal Bank. And in this bank book was the amount of $1,000. She hands it to us. I said, what is this for? He said, it's for you. I know that you go to the immigration now and then, and you know, they give you a week or 2 weeks, and I just wanted to give you this, you know, show them this when you go next time. So I said, thank you. So we went. And we showed them $1,000, and they gave us a month to stay. A month. A whole full month. We got back, and I gave Evie O'Hara, that's her full name, Evie O'Hara. I gave her back her bank book. I said, thank you. We really appreciate that you did this for us. They gave us a month. Thank you for, you know, he says, no, it's yours. I said, what is mine? The money in the bank account, I opened that bank account for you. I didn't know somebody could do that. But she opened the bank account for us and put $1,000 in there and said, that's yours. Now we go back to the immigration office, back to the manager's story. We're sitting across from this guy, and he starts filling out stuff, and he will get up and walk, and I'll see him checking books in the common area and checking on different things, and he'll come back. Because how do you, manager, go ask your subordinates, you know, how do I fill the form? He was just filling in because the place was so busy. Thank God. You know, when you think things are not happening for your good, they are happening for your good. If that place wasn't packed that day with all kinds of people, we will not see the manager. When we activated that prayer and said, God, we want to see the manager tomorrow, God says, everybody, their cats and their dogs show up in the immigration office so that my son and my daughter can see the manager. God will move everything to make sure that your voice is heard. Hallelujah. So he comes, fills out everything, and we're just about to leave. And he says, oh, and by the way, how much money do you have? I said, we don't have any money. No. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about how much money do you have at home or in the bank? We said, we don't have any money. What do you mean you don't have any? We don't have any money. Zero. He looks at us sternly and he says, I'm giving you 6 months. In 6 months, if you come back here without money, I'll personally depart you. 6 months was too long for God. In 6 months, God changed our trajectory, changed everything. We met a judge called Mrs. Wilcox, who gave us a working permit, and I started doing some silk screening down on whatever street over there, you know, doing silk screening. I did all kinds of jobs. I even did the job of an electrician, you know, hooking up boxes and stuff like that. Thank God those buildings are still up, because I don't know what I was doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God was faithful through it all and made certain that we received the answers that only He could provide. 6 months later, in fact, before 6 months came up, we had what they call a landed permit. 3 years later, we became citizens, and all the harassment ceased. But it ceased when God spoke and we heard, let's see the manager. Guess who the greatest manager is? Him. He manages our affairs. He says, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will direct your path. I'm saying to you, child of God, there is not a battle that you are facing that will be lost when God is with you. He will fight every battle, and He will win every battle, and He will give you the certification of the victor. Because he's got too many badges. He's Mr. Awesome. And he just wants his kids to be awesome too. So he always gives you all the badges. He wins the battle, he gives you the badge. He wins the battle and he gives you the trophy. Because God causes you to be triumphant in every situation. Everyone who believes in God has a God who is on their side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Not a circumstance, not a demon, not Satan and all his cohorts. Nothing can stop me, because the God I serve is unstoppable. Amen? Whatever you need in your life, know there is a God who has a perfect answer for it. And with those words, I will end up with this last scripture, and it's just going to be the scripture found in Psalm 46 and verse 10. It says this, be still and know that I am God. Rise with me. I want you to declare that scripture together with me. One, two, go. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. 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 God will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted amongst those who do not believe in Him or know Him. He is our God. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every son and every daughter today. I thank you, Lord, O God, for the glorious workings of grace happening in every life. I thank you, Lord, O God, that you've taken on every enemy. And Lord, O God, all strongholds are collapsing this very moment. They are being torn down. Lord, oh God, all the rocks of the enemy are grounded up, oh God, as dust. Lord, oh God, the wind of favor is blowing upon our lives, oh God, to cause glory to be manifested. But your wind, oh God, of wrath is blowing against the enemy, and they are being blown away like chaff. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, oh God, that your word says, oh God, that your angels are even now being dispatched. And Lord, oh God, the enemy, oh God, is being whooped. He's been whooped and pursued. Lord, oh God, the enemy is running, is fleeing. For Lord, oh God, you are our mighty God of war. And Father, I declare, oh God, this day, that whatever the issues your sons or your daughters are facing, that you are taking it on, and you are settling the matter. You are settling the matter. You are settling the matter. The verdict is in. And you are saying, oh God, to your children, yes, you are free. And to the enemy, no, you cannot have them. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the sufficiency of grace and for the integrity of your word. Your name is higher than any other. Your name, oh Lord, is Jesus. Your name, oh Lord, is Yahweh, our God, El Gibor, the God who fights for us. You are the Lord of hosts. Yes, you are. Thank you, Lord. And because of all you have done, we receive the fullness of the manifestations of grace. Blessed be your holy name, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're fighting for us. And we rest in grace. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. This time, we'll honor God with our giving. As we release our tithe, release our offerings, release our first fruits, our vows, release that which God has graced our lives with. May we receive the manifold blessings of our Redeemer and our Savior. Our expressions in our givings are expressions of thanksgiving, saying thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. All right. Well, just give me just a quick moment. We now let go of those that are online, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday and on Friday next. And be reminded that we have special meetings coming up in just a few weeks, on the 28th through the 30th, called the Fresh Oil New Wine Conference. And we want you to participate in real time. God bless you, and good night. Praise God. Well,